Shumaya, Shumaya, to come forth and open the service of the Lord with prayer. Amen. Oh, I don't know why my Lord controls me.
Father, we humbly come before the throne of mercy. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for granting this opportunity, Father, to come in your august presence, Father. You say in your word, where two or three are gathered in thy name, you'll be amongst them. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. By the fact to know that you are among us, Father, it gives us, Father, joy in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Like David of old, he said, I was happy when they say, let's go to the house of the Lord. He knew that in the house of the Lord, all that he wanted was there. He knew in the house of the Lord there was abundance beyond measure. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning. We are happy. Our hearts are bubbling with joy, Father. Just to know that the great Lord Emmanuel is with us this morning. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father. As it was then, in the days of Paul and Silas, we remember they were in the prison, Father. Whilst they were in the prison, Heavenly Father, we heard that they praised the Lord. And whilst they were praising the Lord, Heavenly Father, we heard that all the prisoners that were in the jail, Father, the chains were loosed. What more, Heavenly Father, this morning, as we are praising you, Father, that all the chains of sickness, all the chains of unbelief, all the chains of doubt this morning, Heavenly Father, we want to tell the devil that he's defeated. Heavenly Father, this morning, we want to thank you. We want to give you honor and glory, Father. We are needy people. Won't you just forgive us, Father, for all our sins and trespasses, Father? We pray more also, Father, that when the ministering spirit comes before us to minister grace unto our hearts, may we be in a position that will be able to believe and take you by your word. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, as you come with this fountain of the living waters. Won't you fill our cups, Father, this morning, Father, until they overflow. Like David of old, he said, fill my cup, Lord, until it runneth over. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. We commit our precious brother, who is song leading, Father. give him strength. So that every father, whatever hymn that he takes, Father, is inspired. We want to thank you, Father, as you signed everything in your hands, Father. Won't you just grant it, Father, this morning as you commit this service into your most capable hands, Father, that is of you, Almighty God. We can't do it ourselves, Father. But we just humble our hearts this morning as we invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts. May it speak from heart to heart, bench to bench, Father. That by the end of the service, when you go back home, we say it in our hearts, burn within our hearts as you speak along the way. We thank you, Father. We commit this service in your hand. In the name of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we say amen.
Hallelujah. While you take your seat, Sister Lorraine, to bless us and Sister Buddy, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Hallelujah. While the announcements, we invite them, hallelujah, to come forth. Hallelujah. Amen. Abantu abambona nangwa.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sir.
they take the comfortable of your seats.
Sibahlala phansi.
While we greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Sisanibingelela nonke egameni leNkosi yethu Jesu Kristu.
Once more we are glad to gather in this fashion.
Futhi sijabulela ukuthi sihlangane ngalendlela esihlangane ngayo.
I think the whole purpose is to worship the Almighty God.
Ngiyacabanga inhloso ukuthi sikhonze uNkulunkulu umnini amandla wonke.
And God bless you.
uNkulunkulu anibusise.
Apologies here from Brother Patsy.
Kunoxolisa kuvela umfowethu Patsy.
And Brother Allen and Brother Kulu.
Umfowethu Allen futhi nomfowethu Kulu.
And Brother William.
Futhi nomfowethu uWilliam.
So may God be with them wherever they are.
uNkulunkulu akabe nabo lapho bekhona.
And then I think I'm told here that just a reminder for our conference.
It's a kumbozo sengqungquthela yethu.
And that will be at Beirut, that will start on the 26th of December.
Ezobe ibanjelwe eBeirut ezoqala nge 26th ka December.
If you can see our trustees just for arrangements.
Uma ningabona abaphethe imali imamelana namalungiselelo.
And then the second one.
Yes, Bilige.
Okay, a reminder for Brother Msizi Yende.
Isikhumbuzo sikamfowethu Msizi Yende.
And Sister Ratile Moikanyane's wedding.
Futhi nodadewethu Ratile Moikanyane umshado wabo.
And then, as you are all aware, on the 25th of October.
Njengoba nonke nazi ukuthi izobe nge 25
this October. We've got only one weekend before we go for a wedding.
Kahle kahle sesisele neviki lodwa ngaphambi kokuthi sihambe semshadweni.
Now in the same breath, maybe if you've got accommodation that we can accommodate the saints and whosoever on Friday the 24th.
Sesizokuloko. Uma unendawo yokuhlala lapho khona ongafaka amakholwa kule 25
zika so maybe you can see the trustees or myself
ningabona abaphethe imali okanye nibone mina
and then we can make arrangements
senza amalungiselelo namamelana nalokho
and then let's just make necessary preparations
ukuthi asenzene amalungiselelo aqondile
and then maybe after the services those who can assist us. We can see one another outside. Welcome, Brother Skosi. And then I don't know whether I have to welcome you because I see you are part of the team already.
So it means
we are a one big family.
So
God bless you, my brother and his dear wife at the back. And then, just that one of Brother Mrs.'s wedding placement. Let us just, if I can see. Okay, let's just make a request. If we can ask all the local sisters after the service, all of them, then we can just have a chat on our way forward, how are we going to make certain things.
Sicela bonke abanye abodade balapha ekhaya ukuthi sibonane emva kwenkonzo sokwenza amalungiselelo ukuthi sokwenza kanjani.
Yeah, I'll appreciate it. God bless you.
Ngabonga kakhulu uNkulunkulu anibusise.
And then so just a round of applause for yourselves. Yeah, so we are glad this morning. Let us stand on our feet.
Siyabonga namhlanje kuseni ake simene ngenyawo zethu.
Thanks for the music.
Siyabonga ngomculo futhi.
And then those who didn't get an opportunity to sing, I think due to time constraint,
laba bangalitholanga ithuba lokuthi bahlabelele ngenxa yesikhathi.
We will give you an opportunity next Sunday.
Sizonikeza ithuba esontweni elilandelayo.
God bless you. Let us sing a song while we welcome our dear and precious pastor.
Ake sibuhlabelele ingoma sizazokwamukela umelusi wethu esimthandayo.
And God bless you.
uNkulunkulu anibusise.
Amen. As we greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just take your seats for 1 minute. Amen. Yes, we greeted you. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to have one announcement to pass by. But I'm happy to be in church. Amen. Yeah, it's good to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. So just one brother, Van Rooyen, together with his family, if they can stand up. Amen. They say they want to be part of this assembly.
Amen.
So they are one of us. Make them feel at home. Amen. God bless you richly. Amen. I think the brother said he sees that this is the church where he can raise his family in.
He says,
Amen. And then we hope that's what we will always live up to as a church. That it should be a place where families, men can see that this is where I can raise my family. Because, you know, to get a man in church is not easy. Amen. Men are very skeptical. Hallelujah. When you see men in church, you must know they really mean it. Not that the sisters are not serious, they are as well serious. But it seems like this false prophet target women. Amen. I saw women eating grass. Amen. I saw them eating flowers. I saw them drinking petrol. Being done by a minister. So, but men will just look and say, what's happening now? Amen. But when you see men say, that's where I want to go and worship God, and taking their families with, then you know that it means business. You know that the devil hates to see a man in church. Because a man is the foundation of the family. And the direction in which the family will lean towards, it depends where the head is leaning to. The devil knows that if he can see a man packing the Bible and say, I'm going to church, he knows I've lost that family. Amen. Hey, give this man a round of applause. Amen. Yeah, that's why a sister that gets married to a man that prays, we know she will always pray. Amen. But similarly, there are women that men became dodgy towards God. But these women were genuine. They remained standing in the way. I've seen such women where a man go drift off, but a woman will sing and say, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the Lord. Because a praying woman makes a man uncomfortable. Amen. Just to give you a testimony, there's a man that used to know not to take care of his family. He was just a drunkard. But he had married a godly woman. And every evening around 9 o'clock, the sister will get the children together. So even this man in his drunkenness, he would hear them praying. And he could sense that this is a genuine prayer. And every time it made him feel uncomfortable. Until one day, Abatitisa, and sexually, me, I feel like I'm not part of this family. When you pray, you don't even invite me. But how were you invited to our family church? Come, let's pray. That man is in the message today. Amen. So we need such women. They've got no time for talks and gossip. They mean business when it comes to God. Such women, when the devil sees them, he gets troubled. Because they don't only liberate themselves, they liberate others. It's one thing when we must speak about the power of a praying woman. Amen. We thank you as well, sisters.
We are thankful, brethren.
We are women that will bath their children and say, let's go to the house of the Lord. So when you see them coming by one by one, as a minister, you say, God, help me to be serious with God. Let me give them something of substance. These people are not here to play. They are here for something solid.
Amen.
And they are putting their family on the very thing that you are preaching. It makes you take your work seriously as a minister. Amen. Because when you see people coming into the message, they are tired of the mboros of this world. They want something genuine. Not a pastor who's living double life. What he says and what he does, they are contradicting. But they need somebody who can talk but walk the talk. The world is tired of believers that can talk but not walk the talk. They need people that can talk and walk the talk. You have the people that are ready to walk the talk. Amen. Let's just say amazing grace as we go to the reading of the words. Just turn around and say to the person next to you, I personally welcome you to the house of the Lord. Then if you have been welcomed by your neighbor, you can feel comfortable. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Thank you, Lord. sing it, believers. Thank you, Lord. Through the eyes of love. You stood in his presence and you thought judgment will be passed on you, but he looked at you through the eyes of love. No wonder we love him. No wonder we worship him. No wonder we turn our back on the devil. Because ever since we have come to know this Lord, we told the devil no more turning back. It is sweet to worship Jesus. Do I have witnesses in the building? It is sweet to worship Jesus. Amen. As we turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Actually, we'll read it until from verse 1 to verse 4. If found, you can say amen. It reads in this manner. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Kepha umoya usho ngokucacileyo ukuthi ngezikhathi zokugcina abanye bayokuhlubuka ekukholweni banake omoya abadukisayo nezifundiso zamadimoni.
Are we in the latter days?
Ingabe sesikhathini zokugcina na?
The scripture is being fulfilled.
Lo mbhalo uyagcwaliswa.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron.
Ngokuzenzisa kwabaqamba amanga abashiswe uphawu kunonembeza wabo.
Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Benqabela ukuganana bethi akuzilwe ukudla akudalwe akudalile uNkulunkulu ukuba kwamkelwe ngokubonga yibo abakholwayo nabalaziyo iqiniso.
So that means they can say to you, don't eat pork.
Kusho ukuthi bangathi ungayidli ingulube.
But they don't have a problem when you've got inyathi.
Bangananginga if you have a concubine.
That's very contradictory.
Lokhu kuyaphikisana lokho.
Have you seen them? They are angry that you eat pork, but they are not angry that you've got a concubine. I would rather eat pork and not have a concubine. Can you see how the devil just makes you lose balance?
Balance.
For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
Ngokuba konke okudalwe nguNkulunkulu kuhle akulahlwa lutho uma kwamukelwa ngokubonga.
Amen. Then we can just close our eyes.
Singavala amehlo ethu.
And Brother Mahlangu can just lead us in prayer.
Umfowethu Mahlangu asihole ngomthandazo.
You can hand him the mic wherever he is. Amen.
Okay, let's pray. Siyabonga baba ekuseni. Unkulunkulu omuhle. Usithande kakhulu Nkosi yami ukuthi esikhathini sokugcina sithole izwi leqiniso.
Thank you, dear God.
Izwi elikhona ukwenza umuntu ashintshe. Unkulunkulu wami. Sibonga kakhulu Nkosi yami, sazi ukuthi masizelana ilapha impilo yethu ilungiswa khona.
Amen.
Akwenzeki Nkosi yami sifike lana kungabikho okusha esikutholayo.
Yes.
Ngoba uNkulunkulu wehlisa mihla yonke esikhathini sokugqina ukudla okusifanele.
Thank you, Father.
Futhi ngikuthanda ngoba Nkosi yami kusenza ukuthi sibe namandla sesimile ngaphandle. Lapho uSathana athanda khona ukusondela uma umuntu eseyedwa.
Amen.
Kodwa izwi ukudla osipha khona kunamandla uNkulunkulu wethu namandla. Sikubonile siwufakazi. Ngakho Nkosi yami nangumntwana wakho. Umina phambi kwethu manje uzosilethela futhi yenza njalo Nkosi yethu phamandla mambulele izambulo qhweke phambili Nkosi yami sizakale ibandla lakho egameni leNkosi uJesu Kristu. Amen.
As you may take your seats.
Ngihlala phansi.
Amen. We want to speak the title that we would want to speak on this morning. It's a very simple one. The Great Age of Deception. Amen. Can we just repeat so that you get the title?
I guess it came there, was what's in this called
the Great Age of Deception.
It's a cartes a cool, same cohesive.
Or maybe we can say, this Great Age of Deception.
Or I said it, this is a cartes a cool, same cohesive.
Just to emphasize that we are not prophesying, but we are confirming that. That time it is now. When Paul spoke in the days past and spoke about that know this also, that is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse
1.
He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Today we don't say the perilous times shall come, we say those times are here. So that means we live in a time where we are caught up in a fulfillment of a prophecy. What has been prophesied has now been fulfilled. And he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Do you have people that love more of themselves than more less of God? And it speaks about cafetias, boosters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy.
Uyakhuluma uthi nabathanda imali nabazigabisayo nabazidlayo nabahlambalazayo nabangalaleli abazali nabangabongiyo.
When we see these things taking place, they disturb us.
Uma sibona ke lezi zinto zenzela
When you see children that are disobedient to parents, it disturbs us. When we see men becoming blasphemers, it disturbs us. But in the midst of us being disturbed, let us not forget that it is the fulfillment of the scriptures. And it says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good.
Nabanganel Lutando, Nabashebi, Nabangazi Tibi, Nabanga Nabumene.
Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Things that have been mentioned are not so much of a disturbance, but the most disturbing thing is verse 5. Having a form of godliness. Not godliness, but the form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And when it says denying the power thereof, that means they refused for the power of the thing that they claim to transform them. There's never been a time where we had so much people that are worshipping like in our time. In the history of humanity, there's never been a time where there's been as many churches that we find in the end time. We've got hundreds of thousands of churches scattered around the globe. But the spread of the church does not transform in good life or holy life. Because the people have got form of godliness, but they deny the power. And the message, it should not be an exception to this as well. You can claim the message, but if you refuse the message to change you, then you end up having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What we are interested in, we need transformed believers. No, but because these times, it's not so much about what you profess, but it's so much about what you possess. I can say so much with my lips, but say so less about my life. This morning, you are not interested in so much about what I'm saying. You are interested in whether am I living what I'm saying. Because any man that has got the ability to read the Bible can read the scriptures and preach a sermon. But this hour we need walking scriptures. In this hour we need walking quotations.
Kuleli hora sidinga iqaphuno ehamba
ngenyawo. We've seen people quoting, but we've seen few living what they are quoting.
Sibabonile abantu beqaphuna kodwa sibona ingcosana kuphela iphila ngale
ndlela iqaphuna ngakho. In this hour, the greatest desire of a believer.
Ngiyacabanga kuleli hora isifiso esikhulu kunazo zonke
zethu. God, let me be an embodiment of your life. Let me not just speak about you. Let me not just sing about you. But let me embody you. Because the only thing that will paralyze the devil is not great singing. The devil has done that good one in heaven. It's not so much about preaching. The devil can preach better. It's not about being religious. The devil is religious. But it is to embody the life of the Almighty God. The devil hates the life of God in a believer. The devil has got no problem with the Bible. He can sponsor Bibles to be printed. But when he sees this becoming this, that's where the devil has got the problem. And the only thing that is effective towards the devil, it is that the word must become flesh. Because where we are playing, in the space where things are playing now, the devil wants to embody himself into the people. Because in this hour, you can't remain neutral. Hallelujah. This is where two forces are fighting. And the source of those two forces, one is from the devil, one is from God. And all of these forces wants to embody you. But here's the greatest danger. We can identify the devil as a drunk man. We can identify the devil as an adulterous man. But few of us can identify him when he becomes a religious man. And the devil is not so much dangerous when he is a drunk man. But when he hides himself behind religion, he knows that in disguising himself, you can end up worshipping him without knowing that you worship him. It rattles the people when you say, the devil has got a church. Because they, in their mind, they think that the church must only be the church of God. But we want to say, in this great age of deception, the devil does not just have a church, has got churches. The devil doesn't have ministers, but he's got false anointed ministers. The devil can perform miracles. He can make people walk out of wheelchairs. The scripture says gifts and callings are without repentance. So a gift of healing doesn't guarantee that whoever possesses it is right. But people think that miracles is a confirmation that things are right. Yes, we need miracles, but after the miracles, what does the word say? I hope we are together. The prophet says, we see in this age, if this is in the message, how can I overcome? We see this age that we are living in. It's one of the grandest ages of all ages. ways.
There's never been a time where beauty is as rife as it is in our time. The prophet says the beauty of women is the very fulfillment that we are in the end time. This Laodicea church age, it is the grandest of all the church ages, because it's the ending of time and it is the blending of eternity. Then it's the greatest sinful age. It's more sinful in this age than it has ever been. The powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any other age. Your children, the demons that are fighting, are more aggressive than the demons that you fought when you were still young. That's why as a parent you need, as much as you are a worshiper, lest you not forget that you are in the battle. But you need to create an environment that even when your children are wounded, they must crawl back home. Because when they crawl back home, things will be right. I hope we are together. Now, he says, back there in early ages, a Christian, for his profession of being in a church, or of belonging to Christ, could be beheaded for it. And I want to unquote and say, I want to say, the problem with our time versus the time in the past is because in the time past, to be a minister of the gospel, it might require you to sacrifice your life. Preachers were killed in numbers. But today the devil is not going for physical death, he goes for spiritual death. In the days past, you had so many people that were physically dying, but they were spiritually living. In our time, you've got people that are physically living, but spiritually dying. And the most dangerous death is spiritual death, because it's so subtle, it's not obvious, you don't know until it has happened. So the prophet says, back in early ages, a Christian could be killed for his profession of being in church, of belonging to Christ, could be beheaded for it. He could be killed and put out of his misery and go to meet God quickly. But now the enemy has changed tactics. But now the enemy has come in the name of the church. It used to be that when you were in church you were in safe, but today being in church, it can even be more dangerous. But as I'm reading this, maybe you are battling and say, how do you know between the church of the devil and the church of God? God does not respect any church. God respects his word. God will always be obligated to his word. This church as well that I'm preaching to, God will only be interested in it as long as it stays with the word. The only thing that attracts God amongst the people, it is when his word is being obeyed.
into kuphela edonsa uNkulunkulu kubantu bakhe uma izwi lakhe lilalela.
Amen. It's not just having good manners.
Akusho ukuthi uyiphatha nje
kahle. But it's when his word is observed, obeyed.
Uma izwi lakhe lihlonishwa.
Now the enemy has come. The
Satan sesizile.
In the name of the church.
Egameni lebandla.
It's so deceiving.
Liyakhohlisa.
This is the great age of deception.
Lesi isikhathi esikhulu senkohliso.
When Christ said so, the two spirits would be so close in the last days till it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And I want to update that statement and say it's impossible. Then he said, if it were possible, today I can confirm it is impossible. Because the elect will never be deceived. Because the elect have got the life of God in them. And God can, the devil can never deceive the life of God that is in the heart of the human being. So where we are, as Pastor Stanford said the other time, the greatest thing you must possess the life. Because when you possess the life, through that life you can fight the devil. And actually, when you possess the life, you've got a guarantee that the devil shall never change you. Because for him to change you, he must first change God. And the creator can never change the creator. So that means when you've got God in you, we can say you are infallible. Not you, but the God that is in you. We can say you are holy, but not you, the Holy God in you. So it's not so much about human effort. Because we are now moving from the mechanics to the dynamics. The mechanics is the spoken word that you have. It's the church attendance that you have. But the dynamic is when that life is transmitted into your heart. And when that life is transferred into you, the devil can never take it out of you. Let me, God is not doing an experiment with your life. When he chose you, he chose you eternally. He can't choose you today and lose you tomorrow. When he picks you up, make sure, know that it's for eternity. This should give you confidence that there will be difficult times. But God will not forget his promise. I will be with you. And I will be in you. When, till the next recession? No, say. Till the people hate you? No, say. Till the loved ones turn their back on you? No, say. Till you are broke? No, say. Till the end? God is into it for a long haul. He's not experimenting. And actually, the day he chooses you, he has put his reputation at stake. Because you got his stamp of approval. So that means if anything goes wrong, we look at the person that put the stamp. I want to tell the devil and say, God has put a stamp in my life. A stamp of approval. You are my son. During easy times, during the difficult times, but my relationship with you shall never change. Today, we are not trying to keep people in church. The life of God is keeping the people in the journey. There are times where you think that, no, I'm about to give up. These things are
falling apart. But in right where you are supposed to give up, you just feel a surge of power taking over you. And you begin to rise up and say, it wasn't me. I'm here to confirm it was not you. It was the Almighty God in your body continuing what He promised. So what I'm saying is that as much as it's a great age of deception, there are people that have got the truth, and there are people that will spot the devil. You know, a believer can spot the devil anytime, anywhere. The devil can sing Amazing Grace, but the believer will say, it's the same devil. Today, people are crying and they feel blessed, only to be blessed by a demon. It happened in the book of Acts. A girl that was possessed with a demon was busy saying to them, ye men of God, until they turn around and say, this is not the Holy Spirit, it's the demon. And they cast out that demon. Right in the book of Acts, you find a man called Simon, who was a magician during that time.
Oh, I am killing one.
Actually, the Bible says he was a witch. He had bewitched the entire city. But when you go into the scripture, the people said the man is full of the power of God. So sometimes the people in deception, they can start following a witch thinking is the power of God. Let's read it. I think somebody's saying, here? Acts chapter 8.
Verse 9.
Do you think the witch can preach to the bride of Jesus Christ? And they will know at
this is witchcraft.
I said it's Acts 8.
It is in a Zenz or Isatro 80.
Verse 9. If found it written in this manner.
Uma senitholile ifunde ngale ndlela.
Chapter 8 from verse 9, it reads in this manner. It says, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, which is Samaria, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one.
Kepha kwakukhona indoda ethile ngoSimoni igama layo, eyayikade yenza imilingo kulo muzi isimangaliso isizwe saseSamaria izishaya umuntu omkhulu.
Amen. To whom they also gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God.
Banamathela kuye bonke kusukela kwabancane kuze kube kwabakhulu bethi lo ungamandla kaNkulunkulu abizwa ngokuthi makhulu.
Do you think that today we've got people that see great men and they say great men of God only to find that they're referring to wishes?
Namhlanje ucabanga ukuthi sinabo abantu abanjalo ababona amadoda amakhulu bathi amadoda amakhulu kaNkulunkulu kodwa lokho bakhuluma nani nabantu angingabathakathi.
So sometimes when you say something is the power of God,
What makes you to think is the power of God? What standard do you have to judge that is the power of God? Let's continue. And it says, and to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries.
Hey,
being long, being bewitched. I think that during that time when they spoke about him, they say, you know, a man of God. Amen. That man has got power. From the youngest to the greatest. Not knowing that it's not a blessing, is being bewitched. Amen. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Amen. I was just showing you that you can think that something is great only to find that you are being blessed by a demon. Because in the last days, the Bible speaks about the false anointed ones. And these false anointed ones will do great miracles. But the ultimate, in the midst of the miracles that they do, check how they preserve the word. If they don't preserve the word, then they are inspired by a different spirit. Let's continue here. Now, he says, in this great age, if it would be possible, it would deceive the very elect. He says it's so close. The people so live, people can live a clean, holy life and not be sinful, not be adulterers or drinkers or liars or gamblers. They can live above that and still not with it, because it's an age of deception. Now, today, the Bible says it will come to a point where the people would not want to hear the word, but they would want to be fed tales that itches their ears. And in the message we say, we would rather offend you with the truth than to keep you happy with a lie. You would rather face God having known your stand rather than being misled. But here's the danger of the deception. A deception, it's not a new thing. It's something that takes place within the truth that has already been presented. That now just becomes stretched. Because a lie has got an element of truth in it. Because if it does not have an element of truth, you won't fall for it in the first place. When the serpent deceived Eve,
and said, you shall surely not die. It was not just a pure lie, but it was a lie that was diluted with the truth. And today, we see a truth being presented, but it is diluted with a lie. But as long as the truth is diluted with even an altar of lie, the church must reject it, because God will not accept it. So it is either 100% truth, and we accept it, or it's not 100% truth. We don't want something in between, because the devil is a specialty of the things that are in between. And when you look at this age, people have gone lukewarm, because what has been preached to them is lukewarm. You can't blame the people. The prophet is not so much with the people, but the problem is with the pulpit. What is being presented onto the pulpit? Because whatever you hear every Sunday, you become pregnant with that. Because this is not just where we utter words, but the words that we utter are the seeds. And if it is a false seed, it will bring forth a false life. And if it is a true seed, it will bring a true life. So you need to check your diet. You need to check, what am I eating? Because today, people are so much concerned about what they eat naturally, but they don't care so much about what they're eating naturally. If you go to Wimp, and they give you coffee, and you come across a cockroach, you don't just smile and say, hey, let me just put this cockroach aside. No, you need to stand up and say, hey, what happened? And phone all over the place. And they can't feed you cockroach, and next week we find you there. And say, they gave me on Friday, but on Monday, normally it's different. If they gave you there, you just know that always it will be like that. Hallelujah. But a person will not complain when they give him wrong food in church. Will be content and say, it's not so much of a great deal. If the natural food that is not right can make you sick, even the spiritual food that is not right will make you sick. Today we've got people that are sick, because they are feeding on the food that is not right. If you eat food, and as you are eating, in the midst of your food, you realize that this food is expired. God forbid that you would continue. Amen. But if you care about yourself, you will stop and fold everything and say, that doesn't taste right. What the point am I driving? Not every person that says they preach the way to they preach the way. And how do you know? After you have heard, and after you have accepted, check what your life brings. Because what you accept must bring the result. But if you keep on struggling with the same thing, maybe you need to change your diet. Because when you accept the weight, the nature of the weight, it must conquer. Not only on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, Wednesday, the word conquers at all times. The prophet says, the word will defeat the devil anytime, anywhere, under any condition. So when you've got the word, I don't care about your circumstance, you will overcome. I don't care about the time, you will overcome. I don't care about the condition, you will overcome. The word will defeat the devil anytime. But you must accept the original way, not diluted one.
Amen.
Diluted weight will make you sick. You will not be, even if you feed a child food that are not right, they don't get strength. When the wind comes, it blows them out. But a child that is eating right food, when it's standing, you see that this child is standing. Hallelujah. So today, we've got so many winds. And winds, it refers to battles. And people are just falling by the wayside. It's because of what they've been fed. He is very simple. What we give you will make you to overcome the devil. Or if not, you will reject it and you will quietly disappear. But you can't have what we give and the devil comes and plays on your playground. Because the weight that we present must give you the authority to be able to confront the enemy and say, enemy, I've got my own territory and you cannot play in my territory. If you come into my territory, you've got to deal with me, because this is the word and it's the eagle's food. It must make you to be stronger. It must make you to be consistent. It must make it to be rooted, because it is the word of God. It's not a psychology, but it is the very life of Jehovah that moves into the heart of the believer. And when the devil sees that, he gets scared and says, that man, he's not on his own. There is a God in that man. There is a God in that woman. And the devil must step aside. What do you contend this morning? You must contend God. And if you don't contend God, you contend the devil, because you cannot be neutral. But blessed are the people that will contend God. They will overcome in this day. They will never be defeated. They will never be deceived. And I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. I don't know whether you're one of them. I will never be defeated. The devil can never take a chance. But you must not say it, you must possess it. You must not talk, but you must walk the talk. The devil, when he sees you, must know that woman is different. Her thinking is different. Her conduct is different. It can only be God in that woman. Not church. The church is powerless. God has got power. What gives the church power is when the powerful God comes into the church.
Amen.
We live in a deceiving age. The devil has gone out on the rampage. And your parents, you had much better take this God seriously. There will come a time where you've got to part with your child. And they've got to face life on their own. You are not there to check what time they come back. You are not there to check who the friends that they befriend.
God forbid if you have not planted something in them. There must be God in them. Because parenting, you can parent up to a point. Up to a point. But sometimes you've got to let go. A child must be on his or her own. When she or he's not there, what makes you feel confident that they will not be swallowed up? It must be God.
Yes.
The society is not safe anymore. The government has done great programs. They're trying to educate children about the disease that are around today. But I think it was in 2012. South Africa alone in 1 year had 400,000 incidents of HIV AIDS. And I think the council, the science council, South African Research Council,
South Africa,
it said it made South Africa to lead the world. Statistically, we are sitting on where 1,800 people are being infected daily.
Namhlanje ngokwe ibalo ukuthi 1,800 abantu bathola lesi sifo nsuku zonke.
We've got 5.6 million people living with it.
Sinabantu abayi 5.6 million abanako.
And that number keeps on increasing. What will make our children to be an exception? How do we help them to survive? They're amongst ourselves. When the devil wants to take them. I want to say to your parents, if you take 10 steps forward and you take 5 steps backwards in God, your children will take 15 steps backwards. And it will be difficult to bring them to the same speed. When we live with our children, they know whether we mean business or we are just playing church. And the best way to preserve them, this God must not be a Sunday God. The worship must not be a Sunday activity. It must be something that is done daily in the house. When you do that, God is no longer a theory. I know a certain man, a very poor brother, doesn't have much, but very honest with God. And I'm told that his son one day told him, "Daddy, I want to be like you." And the father was confused and said, "I don't have much, I'm a struggling man. Why would this boy want to be like me?"
Baba wathe ukuthi angena lutho kodwa ingane lomfana azofuna ukufana nami na.
And then he asked the son and say, "Why would you want to be like daddy?"
What was in daughter? What ingane lutho ufuna ukufana no baba?
Says daddy.
Wathi baba.
I've even told the people at school.
Wathi ngibajelile ngisho nabantu
esikolweni. That every day when I wake up,
ukuthi nsuku zonke uma ngivuka,
I see God in my father.
Ngibona ubaba, ngibona uNkulunkulu kobaba wami.
Isn't where we are supposed to get to?
Akusibona lapho kufanele sifinyelele khona na?
And if it is like that, if our children would be one to be like us because they see God in us, even when they become friends with the friends of the world, they will realize we are different. We are not like them. Today, brothers, it is a great age of deception. The devil knows the body. He knows this flesh. He knows how it operates. If you want to know how it operates, this flesh, unless it has something to control it, when you are maybe in a restaurant and they're busy playing the music, if you can lose touch with yourself, you'll find yourself tapping on the floor. Because the devil, when he designed that music, he knew that that beat will be able to appeal to this muscle, and that's why you'll end up tapping. But this body, unless there is something to control it, you can't control it. And I want to have an honest discussion with brothers. We live in a horrible age where nakedness is all over. Women are walking completely naked. But I want to say, brother, this body, you can never control it. There must be something higher than this body in this body. And when that higher thing is in this body, even when you are attracted to look, but a certain power comes and turns the other way. Unless it's in that manner, we will be like the men of this world. But what makes us to be different? To work in those environments, but not to be deceived, is because something supernatural has dropped into this body of flesh, and we are no longer in control of ourselves. The day we accepted him, our willpower was paralyzed. We don't go where we want to go, because we became the prisoners of Jesus Christ. We've got no choice. Somebody is controlling us. So in this age, which is the final age, which is the last lap of the race, my brother, you must have had something heavenly within your earthly vessel. Unless it is in that manner, at some point in time you will fade away. But if you have received something, every day becomes better. The more the world becomes corrupt, you become holier. It's not your choice. Something has dropped into your heart. My question is, has something dropped into your heart? If it's just a church activity, a church activity has got no power. At some point in time, you will get tired. But the reason we are not tired is no longer us, but it's him. We live for him daily. Wherever we are, it's him living in us. It's him speaking in us. The answer for the hour, the word must become flesh. Not the flesh of Jesus, but your flesh. It must be God working in you. It must be God going to school. It must be God worshiping himself in you. It must be God.
If it's not God, it's a mechanical activity. Mechanical activity.
Oh, into nje eyenzekayo mechanic.
And as a result,
ngenxa lokho,
at some point in time,
esikhathini esithile,
you run out of power.
Uphelelwe amandla.
Then you give up.
Bese ke uyadangala.
But the same way,
kodwa indlela efanayo
that God trusted Job,
uNkulunkulu athemba ngayo uJob.
And whatever he trusted in Job.
Noma yini akayithemba kuJob.
That despite what he may go through.
Ukuthi noma ngadlula esimeni esinjani.
He will never turn his back on me.
Ngeke wangiflathela.
You must possess what Job possesses.
Kwasele ube nakho lokho uJob waba nakho. Amen.
If it is not like that.
Uma kungekho njalo.
We live in a very deceiving age.
Siphila esikhatheni senkohliso.
Now, here's something. We know that Paul laid the foundation. And he said, every minister that will come after me must continue on the foundation that I laid. And the prophet of God says, his manner of ministering set the pattern that all future messengers were to aspire to. I'm in the Seventh Church Age book. He says his manner of ministering set the pattern that all future ministers were to aspire to. Actually, sets the pattern for every true minister of God that he would not attain to such great heights in the prophetic realm as Paul did. Paul's ministry had a threefold quality. And it was as follows. First of all, Paul was absolutely true to the word. He never deviated from it, no matter what the cost. A true ministry will never deviate from the true word of God. A true ministry will not try to please people. A true ministry will please God. Now, he says, he calls the scripture where Paul was saying in Galatians chapter 1 verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul is saying, even though we preach any other gospel unto you that which we have already preached to you, let us be accursed. What he's simply saying is that, and I hope it can sink with message believers, whatever the prophet presented, we can't improve it. It was enough when it was presented. The word that God gave in this time, you can't improve it. When it was given, it was enough. But how in our time we see people, because the Bible says they will be falling away. We see people that have long been in the ministry and they're turning their back on the message and they're leaving the message and they're trying to discredit the message. But here's my question to the church. Show me any other system that can produce what this message has produced. I've looked at the systems around the world. There is no system that can produce what this message has produced. It's not so much about knowing what happened or whether you were there when it happened. But it is the effect of what happened after the prophet spoke. The life that you live, tell me any other power that can make you live that life. There are people that are going to church, they aspire to be like you. The things that they struggle about, to you it's nothing. You are done past that. And as a result, they are looking and they know what you have is the real thing.
Even though we may not accept it, but we know it is a real thing. Because why? What you have accepted, it was not just a sermon on Sunday. But what you have accepted, it was the Father calling you back to Him. What you have accepted is the nature of God in your body. And as a result, things that people are struggling today, men can have one woman. Don't pretend like you don't know. Today, one woman. Year out. Never. Not in this world. But why are brothers? 15 years later. One woman. Even our presidents, they are failing on
the country.
But a young man that doesn't have a degree that is not known, he's living a thin life. What is it? Is it education? If it was education, schools can produce that. If it was a church, churches can produce that. It's not a church. It is the word. That should make us to be a privileged group of people. That should make us not to take this message for granted. Amen.
Amen.
And get sometimes when I want to buy them a son to. Because believers
because believers they used to be what reluctant to go to church.
I don't know how you can put it. Amen. Kuba munonga tsi siyabazamela phesontweni masizile.
They are doing us a favor if they come to church.
We are
doing a pastor a favor.
You are not doing me a favor. You are protecting your family.
The
devil wants to swallow you, your children, and your husband, and everybody in the family. So when you come to church, it's not to impress the pastor. You are in a battle. And the pastor must know that you are in a battle. You are wanting to protect your territory. And the only thing that can protect our territory is God in us. Unless it is like the case, our families will be like their
family.
Our children will be like their children. We'll just be part of the statistics. But in this grand age, Paul was true to the word. When we say you are true to the word, and I can ask you a question, who are you when nobody is looking? That's your real self. Are we together?
Amen.
And he continues, he said, the second thing that Paul's ministry had, his ministry was in the power of the Spirit, thereby demonstrating the spoken and written word. He was demonstrating, making it alive, both the spoken and the written word. That's why he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with an excellency of speech or of wisdom, but declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. That's what Paul was like. So today, we don't want something that resembles Christ. We want Christ. Are we together? The third thing. He had the evident.
fruit of his God-given ministry. That's why he says, I am become a fool in glory. He have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. And he comes back, he says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship you are in the Lord. So what it means is that we as pastors, we don't want the people just to follow us. We want the quality people. And when I say quality, because today we live in a age of deception. Pastors want to be followed by rich men. Rich people is not that you are quality. There's nothing wrong with being rich. But it's not a sign of anything. But what we want to people to follow is the people that are genuine to God. It's the people that are sincere to God. It's not so much about having 10,000 people come following you. But it's the people that can reproduce the life of Jesus Christ again in Witbank. Not just a big number, but the people that can capture it and accept it, and the life of God manifests itself through them. Until the unbelievers can say, the people that are going to Lighthouse Tabernacle, there is something different about them. Yes, we worship God, but we don't worship God like them. Not because we sing better, not because we've got the eloquence of speech, but our life is exactly like the life of Christ. Until when the people see us, they see the little messiahs that have been anointed by the great Messiah. You must be a little messiah. Let me tell you, my brother, this, we must produce results. We must bear the fruits of what we confess. The answer to this age, we've got people that have resigned from churches. They don't want to do anything with church. They've seen so much hypocrisy in church. But the reason we are here is to be able to present to this generation that it is possible to live for God in 2040. It is possible to live for God in Witbank. It is possible to be a young man and be a separated young man. It is possible to be a married man and respect your marriage vows. Until other married men, they come to you, what's your secret? And you can say to them, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the one that makes me live in that way. You must be a witness of what we preach about. Not in speech, but in the life. And if you worship with us, and you get caught up in compromising situations, you are doing an injustice to what we are trying to uplift in this community. Amen. That's why in this church, it's not so much about talent. Amen. Because you don't want somebody to bless you today. Imagine if a drunkard fell to run. I'm changing it soon to
him.
Today I want to go to church. I was drunk yesterday, but today I want to go to church.
Mother, I soon to
him. When he comes to the church
and takes a seat,
I shall pass.
My item.
They are the people who are going to be singing.
This is your. Hey,
that man was with him yesterday.
We don't want that.
Has a food at all.
That sister, where is she now, man?
That sister, we were with her yesterday.
No. We want people that are separated from this world.
Sifuna abantu abahlukaniswe nalelizwe leli.
A life of service.
Impilo yokuyinikela.
A life that has got credibility.
Until
the devil believes that demons, that one if he says he's a child of God, I'm a witness. Then we say you are a believer. Embodying God. How many would wish to be like that? I for one want to be like that. I want the devil to respect my testimony. I want when they walk into the street, the devil says, there goes the man of God. Not people, but even the devil himself must acknowledge. Say, there goes the son of God. There goes the daughter of God. Then we say, you are a genuine believer. We can put a stamp like you when they put on a shoe and say genuine leather and say, genuine
believer.
Then you become an inspiration in this community. When the other young girls look at you, you inspire to them and say, it's possible to live for God. We don't want to condemn sinners, but we want to show them it is possible to live for God. It is possible to serve the notice to the devil and say, I'm done with you. I'm living for the Almighty God. I might be at this varsity, but I am not like the people at this varsity. I'm the manifestation of God. I'm the attribute of God in this university. My life is different because of where I come from. That will inspire other sinners and say, we want to be like him. The only defense in deception is the truth. And we need the agents of the truth. At the workplaces. At school. Wherever they are. People must say, surely it is sweet to serve Jesus. Look at this brother. Look at this sister. Look at this family. Something is different. That's what we want to do. Let us bear the fruits. Let us remain grounded. Let us possess what we profess. God will respect us. But the greatest of all of them, the David, who is the God of this evil age,
he
will respect us. God bless you, Rich. Let's stand to our feet and sing a worshiping song. How many love him? Sathis Tampaya, there is another mic here for you.
I bless your name. touched me.
He touched me. Jesus touched them. And something wonderful happened. And now we know, and the devil cannot make us not to know. Amen. Just give us another worshiping song. And you can say, Uduma. Amen. Let's just worship him. Two more songs before we wrap up in prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Put me nearer, my God, to thee. Or in the cross.
Amen.
Brother Malaga will come and close the service with a word of prayer.
Amen.
Jesus King, be
Let it be so.
ra khona go itamela moya e mo tsatsinga le khono morena wa ka
yes
ra khona go bona gala re phela ntate re le bona bana ba ga go ka miliro morena
se
so go xa ka mudima tla o hle o morena wa ka go itela ile rena ntate ra khobela go xa ka ka o di wa rena morena
yes
di maka ke go xa ka re so go fa tshe go xi a go re fium mudima tla o hle Mushi khoshi akara tale tata weshu ndimwa kaka bona bo phelo yo khoshi aka
iso
go ka jona dipolelo morena yo ya re re go bonagala khoshi aka re re ba khone go shupa ntate morena wa ka ke arapela mantsi bona ngala tshachi ke sa eme mo pele ga bana ba ga go khoshi ke nna mudima tla ohle ire ge o lutse khoshi aka morena wa ka go khwata ba bangwe le nna so mpete
la biso
ya khobela morena wa ka Mushi garapela tata weshu yena mochanga wa gagwe o buletse go ka yena morena tate a ke mecha yo se go shaka bana ba ga gore go se go shaka di ju go shaka o shumisa yena ntate re bua ka moka go se re rapela tata weshu re se go shaka re sa tsa go fisha tirelo re sa tsa go tsomrena wa ka re sa tsa go ya magaeng a rena go shaka ditile mo go tse tate a e bone a spela gona rena
thank you lord
a e bone a re di sha go morena ao bueno re fisa go khoshi gore pholoshi go shaka gore o tileng jung la ga morena wa rena ka lena la Jesu Kriste re apela go se le go leboga
amen some service to Satan let's sing it
some service to Satan
When you have disappointed an enemy believer, you smile.
Uma disappointed isitha uyamamathe.
And but some tobisile,
may we have humbled him.
Amen. No, not humbled. Maybe let's get the right one. We embarrassed him. Yeah, so we have embarrassed him by living for God. I like a disappointed David. Amen. Let's sing it again.
As it's available for you.
Save, save, save.
Amen. Don't you just feel light after saying umswabisile? Amen. I've embarrassed you, David. Amen. Just give us three songs. Let them come from you. After those three songs, you are dismissed till we meet. Some Wednesday, 6 o'clock.
And
some next Sunday. But may God preserve you until such time we meet again. Purpose it in your heart to live for Him. Purpose in your heart to disappoint the devil. And make God the integral part of your life. When you serve Him, He'll make you prosper
in
whatever you put your mind at. Until such time we meet, may God richly bless you.
Running away.
Morena,
tshwanela o morena morena
ena ditheto si
thank God.
Thank
you, Lord. Without blue eyes. It's because of the grace of the Lord. How many witnesses do we have? When you see us, you know, when you find a 20 or a 35 year old man that believes in God, and you compare him to the one that doesn't believe in God, this one that doesn't believe in God, it lost will alignment. You don't know whether another eye is open or is closed. You know, believing in God makes you naturally radiant. Amen. That's why when you see us being like this, because of the grace of the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Sister Velimina.
They wrote a church Thanksgiving card a few weeks back. We went there to officiate their wedding. And they say to Pastor Madiba and the church, with lots of love from John and Velimina Mazimela, words alone cannot express the joy that we feel remembering you shared the beginning of our life together. We would like to send our sincerest gratitude for all the love and support. May the Lord continue to bless you. That's to Pastor Madiba and the church. Amen. So, it's such a sweet family. Amen. They gave me a gift card,
Amen.
God bless them for blessing me.
Amen.
You know, sometimes believers really do things for the pastor. Not because the pastor asked for them, but just out of the love for their pastor. Some of this ties that we wear them is from believers. They always do great things for the pastors. I think it's just to encourage them that Pastor Pambili.
Pastor, forward we go.
We are behind what you preach and we are behind what you stand for. So we always appreciate. Sometimes we will come after service and say, I don't converse when I'm Jim, but some will come and say, "Her sister Madiba cooked. If she's not cooked, come with us."
Abanye bazoza emva kwenkonzo angizami ukukhankasa bakithi bazobuza bathi melusi ngabe uma udade Madiba uphekile na uma ngaphekanga iza nathi.
And I say, "Awa, that's shone khona."
Ngathi, "Hawu, angaphekanga." Let's go.
Amen. But it's nice to be around believers in Witbank. Some of the struggles that one can go through as a pastor, they seem like nothing. Because of a steel of support of believers. Some they don't say much, but in their closet, they kneel down and say, "God, protect our pastor." So I'm powered by the prayers of believers. And we want to appreciate all those things. Are we left with one? One was the one that and you see, normally when the pastor takes time preaching, I'd say, "Can I go for 15 minutes? Others say, "What is Pambi?"
Can I go for a while?
Others will be looking saying,
"Didn't you realize that we have been here for quite a long time?"
Amen. God bless you richly till we meet. One more song, then you are dismissed.
Lord, our business now, Kulule.
Amen.
You are faithful, Lord. You.